This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. The coronavirus has killed 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now attempts to end the U.S. longest war, the Afghan government and the Taliban are in the early stages of negotiations that are the most significant attempt yet to find peace. Nick Schifrin speaks to the U.S. official who's leading that effort.
Judy, as the government and the Taliban are negotiating in Doha, the violence between them in Afghanistan is getting worse. In just the last few days, government forces have killed dozens of Taliban militants in the east, while the Taliban killed dozens of police officers in the south. And last weekend, Afghan forces conducted airstrikes in a province in the north that's partially Taliban-controlled, killing Taliban militants, but also causing reports of civilian deaths. It was 7 months ago that Special Envoy for Afghan Reconciliation, Zalmay Khalilzad, signed an agreement with the Taliban. After a bit of a delay, that led to the negotiations in Doha today, designed to end all of this violence. And Ambassador Khalilzad joins me now. It's good to have you back on the NewsHour. You've said that you expect violence in Afghanistan to decrease. But just to be clear, the February 29th agreement that you signed does not commit the Taliban to stop attacking the Afghan government. So what leverage do you really have to reduce the violence?
Compared to the first 6 months of last year to this year, despite the recent increase in violence, the number of casualties, both military and civilians, are down this year. The violence is high at this point, and both sides need to bring down the level of violence, and we're committed when I return to work with both sides to get an agreement on reduction of violence.
The Afghan government says there's too much violence. You've just said there's too much violence. The U.S. military says there's too much violence. The Taliban have indicated they will not accept some kind of ceasefire in Doha until both sides decide the future of the government, which, of course, will take a long time. So how sustainable is the peace process as the violence continues?
I think you're right that the Talibs will not accept a ceasefire, comprehensive and permanent, until there is a political settlement. And that's not unprecedented in similar conflicts elsewhere. I think they can do a reduction of violence. They have said they will consider it, depending on what the proposal is. The government is supportive of it, too.
You've been discussing a roadmap, a framework agreement that would leave some of the longer term issues of what the Afghan government looks like to the future. Does that require the Afghan government to step aside in the installation of an interim government?
Well, there are various options that they have in front of them. It is for the Afghans to agree to a political roadmap The fact that you're sitting across the table from each other is unprecedented, that Afghan warring parties have sat together. When the Soviets withdrew, before their withdrawal, there was no Afghan meetings. It was an agreement that Pakistan and the Afghan government signed with the U.S. and USSR as guarantors. And ever since then, the warring Afghan parties have not sat together. This is an extraordinary development in contemporary Afghan history.
Are you under pressure from the White House or anyone in the State Department to announce specific progress before the election?
No, I'm not. We would like the war to end as soon as possible. This is the expectation of the Afghan people. We have not set any artificial deadline for when these negotiations have to succeed. We are not directly involved in the negotiations. It's Afghan. They did not want a foreigner to be a mediator or a facilitator to be in the room.
Let me turn to human rights. In Doha, the Taliban have refused to say that they respect Shia Islam, which of course is the religion of the minority Afghan Hazaras, even though that respect is enshrined in the Afghan constitution. So does that mean that the Taliban are not going to respect human rights going forward?
They have said on personal matters, the rights of minorities will be respected and there will be no discrimination against others. But that's still an unresolved issue in terms of an exact formulation and an agreement. We obviously support an agreement that respects the rights of all Afghans, whether they belong to one sect or another, whether they're men or women.
On al-Qaeda, one of the conditions of the February 29th agreement was that the Taliban prevent the use of Afghanistan by al-Qaeda to attack the U.S., but the Taliban have not publicly broken with al-Qaeda. What does that tell you about the resistance the Taliban still has to that part of the agreement?
We hold them to that agreement, and what we do is contingent in terms of reduction of forces on what they do. We have seen progress in terms of delivering on the commitment that they have made on terrorism, but that's unfinished business, and we will see in a couple of months when we reach a number between 4,000 to 5,000 in terms of our troops, we will assess where they are. And we are very much committed to preventing Afghanistan from being a platform to threaten us. And we will take measures necessary to protect the United States from potential terrorist threats in Afghanistan or from Afghanistan.
And finally, Ambassador, in the time I have left, to get to this day, the Afghan government not only had to release prisoners, Taliban prisoners who attacked Afghans, but also who killed U.S. soldiers. What should Americans think about that?
What's happening now, the Talibs and the government sitting across the table to negotiate a political settlement is important. And that's what was needed to get to here. So, yes, difficult decision. Not happy that it had to happen, but it was required to get to a hopeful place, which is where we are right now.
Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.